Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Text us on 0499 736 736. Welcome back to the Friday Form Panel.
Good morning. Welcome to the Friday Form Panel Harness Edition. Steve Cleave, I am your host today. With me, we'll have Dan Malecki down the line as we go through all the races from Melton Entertainment Park on Saturday night, where we are covering 9 races for the evening. Dan Malecki, how are you this morning, and how did you find the meeting this weekend?
Good morning, Steve. I'm well, and it's a terrific program, probably in stark contrast to last week for many reasons, but it is a terrific program with a couple of key races, with City of Melton Plate Nights always a very good program, and we've got a terrific feature race, $50,000, but also the City of Melton Scotch Knights Memorial, and just believe he's a marquee horse. It wouldn't matter where he is or what sort of race he was in. It's just great to have him out there potentially strutting his stuff in race number 4. So a 9 race card, but plenty of depth about the program.
Yeah, certainly is. Some big fields and a couple of smaller ones as well. I didn't find it to be as tricky as some of the meetings we've had lately. I think the form lines going into this are fairly open and sort of easy to work our way through. So hopefully we can have a great night and tip plenty of winners. Last week, as you said, it was transferred over to Bendigo and there was quite a few scratchings, which certainly changed everything we had to say here on Friday Form Panel last week. And that change came in literally just as we were about to finish the show. So it doesn't look like the weather's going to affect us this week, Dan. So hopefully we can get through the show, get it all locked in and march forward to Saturday night.
Yeah, I've got the same sort of confidence as you that we're going to enjoy going through the program. But there are some races tomorrow night that don't look as hard as others. But nonetheless, you've got more confidence in tipping 9 out of 9. I'll be just happy to get 5.
Well, I can tell you now, I won't be tipping 9 out of 9, Dan, because I am in race 9, so I will not be tipping in race 9. So I can promise you I will not be getting 9 winners for the night, unless Mirakuru wins, and then we...
Yeah, I'd give it to you if that happened, that's for sure.
I'd happily take it too. We might shoot off to our first break nice and early. When we come back, we will go straight into race number 1, the TAB We're On Pace, an MO race, a non-metropolitan winner's race. It's a full field too, and as always, the race 1 always starts off with a really open and competitive race. So join us straight after this break, and we'll start the preview of Melton Entertainment Park Saturday night. Welcome back to the Harness Racing edition of the Friday Form Panel. You have Steve Cleave and Dan Malecki going through all the races from Melton Entertainment Park Saturday night. Race 1, Dan, the TAB We're On The Pace for non-metro winners. A full field here of 13 with an emergency in that. So 12 horses going around at this stage. This is a really open race. Race 1 always kicks off as a competitive race, and just without comparing barrier draws and anything else, there's probably 8 or 9 live winning chances here, depending on how the races run.
Yeah, and there's no doubt about that. And often the case, we're getting a lot of different form lines. The horse we saw enough of, I think, to highly respect after its first up run in Australia was the 2-horse, which is Classic Mission now with Andy Gaff. A stronger race, but the good draw certainly helps here because it was a random barrier draw race. And look, to be fair, I think it comes in lightly on the ratings as well, which is often the case with the New Zealand horses. They get thrown in and still look like they're decent prospects to buy from across the Tasman. And this fellow is rated as 61. I'm clearly he's better than that, isn't he, Steve? So. Yeah. Barrier number 2, I think, suits Classic Mission. It's not necessarily the horse I'm suggesting we should back because we just don't know what price we're going to get here. If he came up $1.80, I'd want to steer away from him. But if he came up at $5, I'd say, well, each way, he might well be the way to go because of the draw. Perhaps the safer bet is Dollagiri, number one. I suspect we'll get each way odds about Dollagiri from that really good gate. And in this case, for an even field, the barrier draws suit, particularly when they're horses that, in the case of a Dollagiri, if you're utilising the ratings to give you an idea of the class, well, Dollagiri is the highest rated horse in this race and gets barrier number one, so it's got to be an advantage. Number one, from two, Classic Mission. I think plenty to work with there and more improvement to come. I think Franco Novelist, his top four chance again. He's certainly racing well enough. Another Nien's in the mix because he's got gate speed and could well end up in front if he's able to cross, can run some mighty race. And the same could be said for Strong Response, who was terrific last start. And also cases could be made for Cochinelli. And also Spyglass and Tiger Bandwagon, even though he's got a bad gate. If there's enough going on up front to suit a horse that's really well placed as a set sprinter coming off the back of a strong tempo, he could be the one. So depending on the scenario and the speed of the race, there's a lot more horses that become a chance here. And you're right, it is a good race to start off with. It often is. It looks very competitive. It should be a competitive betting race. And I thought Dollagiri each way was the way to go. So it's 1, 2, 8, and 3 for me.
1, 2, 8, and 3 for Dan Malecki. I have gone the 2 here, Classic Mission. I really was impressed with its first up run. My only question mark is the lack of gate speed, but that might sort of play into its hand here because it already is in the running line. It's just got to sort of hold its position, and then it's over 22.40, so you've got plenty of time to work out how they want to drive it. The 4 here, Strong Response, I was really impressed with its first up run when it led and ran along at some super time. And only just got beaten right on the line. I think there was only a neck or something between first and third. I thought possibly another Nien crosses Dollagiri and then hands up to Strong Response, knowing that they're going to get the perfect trip. And if that's the case, that brings another Nien right into this race if it is sitting leaders back. And that's the only reason I was at question mark on Dollagiri was just where it lobs. If it's three back the fence, might be a little bit tough, but if Jack Law can kick up and hold him out, then like you said, it is a class runner in the field. And also number 10, Spyglass, who's going through its grades really well at the moment. So it's an interesting race. Tempo related is going to be one of the biggest things. As I said, there's multiple winning chances, but I've gone 2, 4, 3, and 10. Dan Malecki's gone 1, 2, 8, and 3 to kick off the race meeting at Melton Entertainment Park on Saturday night. Race number 2 is the Lifestyle Communities Trot. It's a 65 to 79 preferential barrier draw on NR. So the much better class horses have drawn out the back. There's a very good class runner in this who's probably been thrown into it with his rating, Danny Naldobarandino. How did you see the race playing out?
Yeah, well, I think Hephaestus Phoenix, you can rely on showing the gate speed, pressing on towards the top, and the likelihood is that he'll find the lead. I just thought that last start, Ross Payne probably just went that fraction too early and Zebek was able to get over the top of Hephaestus Phoenix. I think in this case, he can get to the front and probably be able to dictate. I really thought that Aldobarandino was the major threat, number 11, but you know, how do you trust him? Sometimes your fate is known in the score-up with Aldobarandino. Hephaestus Phoenix is clearly more reliable. I think Aldobarandino might have the more ability, and you're obliged to throw him in for, say, your early quaddy, and it's a difficult bet to have sometimes if they're exotic bets as well because your fate could be known really early. But he's got so much ability, Aldobarandino. He's the obvious danger if he does put it all together. And if they both were at their absolute best, it'll depend on the run that Hephaestus Phoenix gets. But Aldobarandino is a good chance of being able to knock him off. Be interesting to see what sort of prices come up here, Steve, because Aldobarandino's that sort of horse that he'll often be under the odds simply because he's got a terrific amount of ability, but in the case of him scoring up and then doing things wrong, He can often be a risk because he's not reliable enough, despite the quality. And beyond that, I just thought that Tweedledee was the next best. And he is going really well, Tweedledee. He might be a really good place bet. I think he's better drawn when he's away from the pegs. And in a sense, he's been going well but hasn't had the right draws to suit him. He got off the gate much better last start, showed terrific speed. So Andy must have done something just to be able to sharpen him up with a piece of gear or whatever it was. But he came out really well. So I think that's a positive sign for Tweedledee and looks a good chance. And probably the most difficult aspect of this race was trying to find who was the next best in the race. And I've come up with Elder Baron Demi. I think she's consistent enough that she could roll into the top four. But look, five's on top, five ahead of 11, 3 and 4.
We've seen this race pretty similar there, Dan. Especially Sphonis, he looked home for all money last start when it was a breakaway leader, just to tire, as you mentioned, and get back. But Chris Finozio's back in the cart. Nothing against Ross Payne. He does a fantastic job. But, Chris being back in the cart and taking the choice of the two runners certainly gives it a big, big tick here. I've got it tipped on top as well. I put Tweedledee in for second. And again, everything you just said for that reason. It's racing well. It really is knocking on the door for a win. Elder Baron Demi, as we just spoke about, it's a class run in the field. He'd do everything right, but just such a big question mark. And like you say, being a horse that always starts shorter, he sort of throws a little bit of value into every other runner in the race. His feeders, Phoenix, will probably start a little bit longer odds than he would have if Elder Baron Demi wasn't in the race. So even if he is doing things wrong, if you're not backing him, he can really help you out with value in the other runners. But if he trots all the way, he's certainly good enough to be winning this. And as well, I put Elder Baron Demi in for fourth place. Other chances, I suppose, El Resimo, Escape the Pace, you know, they're probably the other two you'd want to look at if you're doing trifectas, first fours and those sort of races. But you look at Elder Baron Demi's form, Dan, and it tells you everything about him. He ran ninth and then second and then first and then ninth and then seventh. And when he does everything right, that could probably be three or four wins in that form line, and instead he's got one.
Yeah, look, he had that for a while there. He just wasn't going well. He wasn't going well at all, and then quickly turned it around to excellent performances. Reminded you that he is a really smart horse, and then he let himself down with bad manners, and that's been a constant throughout his career. Look, he hasn't had a lot of racing, to be fair, for a trotter to have had less than 30 starts and still have the ability that he's got. So he can still have a decent career and have a bit more racing ahead of him. But, you know, to get into the punters or become a punter's pal, he's got to become consistent. And there was a period early, like the first half of his career, I think he was consistent. There was a couple of times he might have made a mistake, but on the whole, in the lesser class, he was terrific. It's been in the next half of his career, as he's got up in grade to a fair degree, that the consistency has dropped away. But it's dropped away simply because of his manners, and often it's the early part, the very early part. It's the score up. He's always well behind. He always gives them a start. It just depends on how much of a start, and sometimes he can be 30 metres behind, and it doesn't mean he's not a winning chance if his mind is right. And that's probably the key, isn't it, Steve? When his mind's right, he matches it with some of the very best.
Yeah, exactly right there, Dan. You couldn't have said it more perfectly. And, he's probably a horse, if you're going to back him, you just have your bet ready to go and try to hit that button just before release point, because you know exactly where he's at. We might shoot off to a quick break, Dan, and when we come back, we'll have a look at race number 3 from Melton Entertainment Park on Saturday night. Welcome back to the Friday Form Panel Harness Edition with Steve Cleave and Dan Malecki. We are up to race number 3 at Melton Entertainment Park on Saturday night, the Pearl Final, going around at 7:37. This race, it's a $20,000 final for mares up to 55, so low-rated horses. Heats were run at Burcham on Sunday and Wangaratta on Sunday night. So form lines are very, very different, and they're coming from two tracks that are very, very different to Melton. Birchip and Wangaratta, both small tracks. So very hard to line these up, Dan, but I've gone for barrier draws. Not sure which way you've seen it.
Yeah, I think it's a good idea. Prize money's terrific, but the lead-in to a Heaton final, it's a good idea, and doesn't matter really where it's coming from, but an opportunity for these horses to come to town, and it always ensures a full field, and it's something we used to see a fair bit of, you know, a number of years ago, and particularly for Country Cup days, it's always, I see it as a good thing, you know, and it makes sure that you get a field that's full field as well.
Totally agree with you. You got me.
Yeah, sorry, I thought I had someone talking in the background there, so I thought I might have been lost, but I thought we'd see it a bit more, and it might be an idea to start introducing that to some of the Country Cup meetings that we've seen, because there have been a few Country Cup meetings, particularly on a Saturday night, that has lacked a lot of depth. Not that this race is the highest of quality, but it ensures a full field. So I'd like to see that reintroduced a bit more to give a bit more flavour to some of those Country Cup meetings. Some don't need it, but as we've seen throughout the course of this summer, some desperately need it.
Yeah, couldn't agree more there, Dan. But and the main thing is, too, it gives those lower-class horses a chance to race for really good money. And, I mean, some of these may not make Metropolitan grade and never get a chance to race for $20,000. So, like you said, they used to do it quite often. Haven't seen it for a while. Great to see it starting up again. So your selections, Dan, who did you break it down to?
City Rockstar was terrific, I thought, showing the gate speed, keeping out Kim Kandu, who stuck to her task really well. She was first up. The three-year-old fillies fought that race out at Wangaratta and kicked right away there. So that's the formula I'm sticking with, considering that the barrier draws they've got look pretty suitable. The Sun and the Moon's the lightly raced one, won both starts this time in and has the gate speed as well. So that early battle, if indeed there is one, is critical there. I was thinking on what I saw of City Rockstar, it's got the gate speed where it might be most likely to lead, but the Sun and the Moon could well challenge that and has good form as a two-year-old as well. So I think they're the key chances, and I've tipped 2, 3, and 4 as the top three, and beyond that I thought it was a bit harder, but I think there's enough to like about Paris Princess. She's been runner-up at all three starts this preparation, and I've slotted her into the top four as well. So it might be a race that has a lower class seemingly, but I'm sure each of those three, City Rockstar, Kim Kandu and the Sun and the Moon, with exposed form that they've got and the nature of all three of them having had 9 starts or less, I think they'll go a lot further than the class they're in at the moment. 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Yeah, we've seen this identical, Dan. I like the barrier draw for City Rockstar. I've also gone 2, 3, 4, and 5. I think it can lead. I think it's going to be a great race, whichever way it goes. We're going to shoot off to the 11 o'clock news now, so make sure you join us after the news. For
live on SEN Track, welcome to the Friday Form Panel.
Edition, Steve Cleave and Dan Malecki, bringing you all our information for Melton Entertainment Park on Saturday night. We're up to race 4, Dan, the City of Melton Scotch Notch Memorial for the Trotters. This is the smallest field of the night, but gee, it's packed with some good horses and some really good form lines coming in here. But just very quickly, I'm sure Scotch Notch was probably one of your favourites.
Oh, undoubtedly was one of, not just one of my favourites, but one of the greatest pacers or trotters that that I've ever seen. She was something pretty special, and we know her for being a great horse over in Australia, but she went overseas and was just something else. Competed on the world stage well before any other trotter that I'm aware of. She was probably the first trotter to go over, not necessarily the first pacer, you know, from this neck of the woods. But she won 65 races as a three-year-old filly. I think her first win was the Victoria Trotters Oaks, and then she goes on to win Inter-Dominion titles here and in New Zealand. She also won a Dominion Handicap, Australasian Trotters Championship, invariably coming off long distances in handicap races. And that's really part of the reason why she went overseas, trained by Graham Lang in the majority of her career. But as good as you can get. Her performance when she won the Inter-Dominion Trotters final, beating her arch rivals, the Castleton, they quinelled a few Inter-Dominions. That performance that night was, up amongst the top races that I've ever seen, and her performance and dragging a flat tire, she was pretty special. She was very special. She was as good as it gets. And if she was in this race, believe me, you'd be looking at the absolute worst. Just Believe would be equal favourite with Scotch Notch, probably Scotch Notch favourite.
Yeah, she was absolutely amazing. I knew you should certainly be right up there in your list. And it's great that we still, get to remember these horses by naming these races after them, because we should never forget the champions of the past. And a horse that's probably etching its name into these realms to have races named after him is Just Believe. He's won 2 Inter Dominions now, and the Great Southern Star as well. He's done an absolutely fantastic job, and he goes around in this a very short price favourite.
2 Inter Dominions, just like Scotch Notch did. So the synergy's already there. How can you see him getting beaten? Sometimes you can try to play devil's advocate. I can't here, even if you had telling me to muck around and had a gun pointed at my head, I still couldn't do it. So it'd have to be an act of God, I think, that could see him being vulnerable, Just Believe. Yeah, he's just a special horse, and I couldn't care less if you had to pay to put a bet on to back him, because just having a marquee horse like that, it turns a race meeting from a good race meeting into something special to see a horse of that quality. So Just Believe, effectively, the number was down on my page before I could put it. You've heard the old saying, he picks himself. Well, I reckon he wrote his number down, as a matter of fact, for me. Olivici, Chinese Whisper. Look, I've got a lot of time for Chinese Whisper. I thought he was going really well before that break. Can't see how he could beat Just Believe, but I'd keep following through this campaign. There's no 3-place dividends, so he'd have to run second, and I'm not sure he can, but he might. Beyond that, number 2, Sebastian's Boy. He was really good winning first up, but he's got to step up against the big boys here. 5, 7, 6, and 2.
Yeah, we're very similar in numbers here. Dan, as you say, Just Believe, he just should be too good for these. He writes his own ticket, he picks himself. So playing out for second place is what we're trying to work out. Olivici is the other class runner. He unusually broke last start, so willing to forgive that and look forward to a much, much better run this week. Sebastian's Boy was so impressive first up. I had a question mark going into that race off what looked like a poor trial, but I just said I wanted to see what he does. Well, he showed me exactly what he does, and the old Sebastian Boy's there. He's got that much speed. I think he'll run into the money at the finish. I'm not saying he can get up there with Just Believe, but I think he'll be running past the rest of the field. And I think Ebony's Avenger, who's going absolutely super. It was a massive run last week to almost look like it was going to get the money over Queen Elida before galloping with 20 metres to run. Gets a barrier draw. It's going to have the right run to use her speed at the finish as well. So I'm with Just Believe, number 5, on top of Olivici, the 7, Sebastian's Boy, number 2, and Ebony's Avenger, number 1. And I agree, Chinese Whisper is a must include in your exotics. It's just a little bit of hit and miss whether Chinese Whisper wants to be the good one or the bad one. So another one that we've got to watch trotter-wise with their behavioural patterns. But if it brings its best, it can certainly be around the money. Race number 5 is the Allied Express Ian Daff Memorial for mares, and what a great mares race this is. There's multiple, top class mares in this. There's one that's dropping way back in class, and there's a couple that are stepping up in class and trying to show their class and talent. Dan, how did you separate these?
It is. It's a good race. I thought the key chances were drawn the back row. Shanlu, I've seen from an inside gate before, and you remember the Shepparton performance, where admittedly it was from the inside back row, but I was just querying where it might end up. But I'm also finding it difficult to get the horse that is going to cross it with conviction from the start of the race. So that makes it a little bit more challenging. Nakula's got enough gate speed, it might be able to do it, but because it's drawn right next to it, it might lessen that chance. So, look, Chandler's going to be very hard to beat. I did work around it to some degree. Tango in the Sierra is coming back in class. Her form probably doesn't look as good, but she's been obliged to run with the higher rated open class horses. There's not really those open races for the mares. So in this case, she actually comes in where the ratings are. She comes in just. So it looks a suitable race for Tango in the Sierra, which is number 10. So I think it's the sort of race that's going to give her a chance here. We know that she's very strong, and Greg Sugars drove her at, I referred to Shepherd on and Shepherd and Cup night, and it was a stunning win, sitting wide for a fair portion of the trip. So, you know, she's got a bit of toughness about her. So I think the 10 from 9 Nikki Nana, who's obviously going really well, 8 Heavenly Charm is just 3 lengths better when she can draw the peg line, and she's going to do it here. Regardless of where Shanlu might end up, Shanlu might lead. And if that's the case, Heavenly Charm is going to be a really good each-way chance. So I've made it 10, 9, 8 and 1. I think they're the 4 primary chances here, but you can make cases for all of the others to run into the top 4. So it's a good race.
It is a good race, and I agree that it's very open if you're playing trifectas and first fours. I've gone with Heavenly Charm here, hoping that Shanlu can hold up. If it does hold the front and Heavenly Charm's lead is back, as she said, she just goes so well driven off that cold sit up the sprint lane or getting a break at the top of the straight, she will be flashing home late, and I think she could play a little bit of value. So I've put her on top, hoping for a bit of value from Shanlu number 1. It's over the short distance, so it'll certainly suit it if it can get through early and hold out the outside runners to be able to lead all the way. The 9 Nikki Nana, it just racing so well at the moment, and you know, she's sort of right in this again, gets a good trailing draw through behind Nakula, who, as she said, has gate speed as well. And then I was tossing up between Tango and Wissiera. As she said, she's dropping back in class from the one horse who's rated a 69 to her who's rated a 98. You know, there's well, there's 30-odd points, you know, between them. So there's a fair bit of difference in grade. But 17-20, she's going to have to do it tough to really get over the top of these, because it is such a good group of mares. And Kendi Butterfly is the other one, Dan, who I think's knocking on the door for a win. It's got a tricky draw, but she's certainly going well enough. So I went 8 on top, Heavenly Charm, from the 1, and then the 9 in. That was my clear top 3. And then the 6 and the 10, I was tossing up which way to go for 4th. So I threw them both in, and as I said, I'll just open up for the exotics. We're not far off of break, Dan, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about the City of Melton Plate. This is a race that has been won by some very good horses over the years, and I'm sure you've called plenty of them.
Yeah, it is. It's a good race. And the way that it's designed for 4 and for 5-year-olds as well, you get a really some wonderful additions to this race over the course of the years. So, again, got some really good horses. And intriguing runner being the Lost Storm as well, to see where he might fit into the scheme of things being first up, because we know at his absolute best, he's one of the best going around. But gee whiz, there's been some fantastic races. Shaker Maker, Sokiola's won it. These are more recent years. Robin Hood, Mel Park Major, Make Mine Cullen was able to win it. Hector JJ was a winner of it. Last year it was Better Eclipse. Hi, my name is Jeff, actually won this race a couple of years ago as well. Back in the earlier runnings of the race, Franco Tiger, Lucky Camilla, he was as fast as there was going around at one stage there. Denver Gift, Tailor Made Lomber. I mean, look, it's a good horses race.
It certainly is. That was exactly my comment coming up after that, was that it is a good horses race. And you listen to that on a roll, it's certainly proven to be that, and it could be another very good horse taken out this race this year. We might just duck off to a break, Dan, and when we come back, we'll go through the City of Melton Plate, race number 6 at Melton Entertainment Park, Saturday night. Welcome back, Steve Cleave and Dan Malecki, bringing you all our tips and thoughts from Melton Entertainment Park Saturday night. We are up to the main race on the card, which is race number 6, starting at 9:16 p.m. It is the City of Melton Plate, 2,240 metres for the 4 and 5-year-old paces, a $50,000 race. And as we spoke about before the break, it is a good horses race. The honour roll is packed with quality horses, and it'll be interesting to see who puts their name on that honour roll tomorrow night. Dan, how did you see this one playing out, and who do you have tipped on top?
Well, the query runner to a degree is the Lost Storm. The last time we saw him, we knew that he wasn't quite right. Even in the Tab Eureka, I thought he was an underperformer, but he was still only beaten 17 metres in incredibly fast time over 2,400 metres. Backed up Victoria Derby heat and then final, but was below his best. I think that's fair to say. I don't think anyone would have a different argument to that. And we haven't seen him for a while. That was back in October. He's trialled up well as you would expect that he should be able to trial up. Look, the times suggest that there are times that the decent horses can run, but he's not going to go there to want to just break the clock and flex his muscles and show that the lost form is back. I think you get indication that that's probably the case, but there's nothing like racing before we get to make a better opinion or more accurate one of the lost form, as good as he is. So I want to see him first. I just wonder if he comes up too short. I think the markets are out for that race, aren't they, Steve?
I haven't looked at him, but I'll bring him up.
Yeah, he's $1.70. So
there you go.
Look, the Lost Storm at his best, $1.70, you'd think, that might be fair. But after what we saw towards the end of last campaign and the fact that he's first up here, I don't know if that's the right price or not. I'm thinking that Perfect Class and Rikiro Rebel are the value runners in the race, with that in mind. So I'm going to err on the side of caution here, and I'm not going to tip the Lost Storm. I'm just not convinced enough that the Lost Storm is the one that's turning up. He may well be, and I hope so, because he is so exciting. But I think that the mare, Rikiro Rebel, I mean, any horse that's able to beat a Ladies in Red, admittedly having the right run up close to the speed on the pegs, but she's very good, I think, chasing them down. She ran third to Leap to Fame in a Cranbourne Cup. I don't have to work too hard to make a really good case for her to win. I think she just showed last start from a backline draw. She was able to work around them. There was a bit of respect there, so she was able to get to the front. But she's high quality, top quality. 10 Rikiro Rebel, and she's hard fit. From 9 Perfect Class, he's runner-up in the four-year-old Bonanza to Frankie Ferocious. Now, he hasn't raced for, 5 weeks? That's always a little bit of a query, because you would have thought he may well have gone to Sydney in an attempt to get into a Chariots, and that didn't happen. So just that little query as to why that didn't happen. But nonetheless, his form is excellent, and naturally the Lost Storm. So they're all winning chances, but I'll stick with the girls. I'm a ladies' man. You know that, Steve. 10 on top, 10 ahead of 9, 6. And I think Earl of Pembroke, he's got a slot in somewhere. But again, that Country Cup form is terrific. He's a Country Cup winner, and he ran third to Say What at Horsham last week. So that's a good enough form for him to be a very competitive chance here also.
Yeah, it certainly is. I am going with the Lost Storm. I just look at the speed map, and I think he just finds the front. And I think from there he'll be able to dictate pace to suit himself. That's the only reason I've got him on top. If he had a drawn, I suppose, at the back row with the others, then maybe the question mark may have been there. But certainly respect everything you said about why the question mark is on him. But, yeah, I do have him tipped on top. I've gone for Perfect Class in second. I think his form is second to Frankie Ferocious. Any other horse in that field would not have beaten him, but Frankie Ferocious is so explosive at the finish. He was able to run him down, but it was still a terrific run. And Rikiro Rebel, everything you just said about her, Dan, is spot on. She is a lovely mare. She's going super. The draw makes it a little bit trickier. She's going to have to do some work, but definitely the top three just stay the same. You could mix them around. You know, you could then tip Perfect Class on top and mix them up, and you know, someone will get it right. But I do think it'll be between those top three. And in for fourth, I've actually thrown Rosanna Rebel. Now, I know it's up in class here. It was a non-metro winner's race that it was in last start, first up from a spell. But it was huge. It was a massive run. It's had 2 weeks between runs. I think it'll come off that run really well, as long as it didn't flatten it off. And I think it can run a really big race here. So I tipped it in for 3 as my value play. So 6, 9,
and it's got
10.
The gate speed.
Yeah, to put it right in the race. If it happens to
and
be
Rikiro
leaders back.
And Rikiro Rebel tracks it through. Barrier 3 second line. So there's another aspect of Rikiro Rebel I like. And I just wonder whether if Rosanna Rebel spears out to lead, it's going to look to take a trail. I would imagine it would. And yep, the most likely horses it would take a trail behind are the Lost Storm and Rikiro Rebel. Rikiro Rebel tracks it through. Will it be there first?
If it can keep through under the lost storm, well, they'd certainly be handing up to it, no ifs or buts. So, you know, if they do punch through hard, there's a big, big chance that that they could get that posse. But it will be an interesting run to the first corner, that's for sure. So 6, 9, 10, and 3 for me, 10, 9, 6, and 7 for Dan. We'll quickly go to race 7. Dan, the Melton City Much More Stampede over 1,200 metres. The 1 and 2 are emergency, so at the moment we're looking from 3 to 10. How did you weigh this one up?
The Melton City Much More Stampede. Can't help but think what the stampede would be for, but nonetheless, in this case, it's a horse race over 1,200. Look, this is a good race. I mean, it's high end with the horses like Tango Tara first up and Triple Eight, who's hard fit. He might be suited to the 1,200 because he's got an electrifying turn of foot, hasn't he, Triple Eight, just to come with one run. Jillaby Jack Sparrow's a specialist over the 1,200. So I think of the six 1,200-metre races that I've actually tipped the winner of, Jillaby Jack Sparrow has won about half of them, so I have to stick with him, don't I? seven from 10, Triple Eight. I think Triple Eight could easily blow them out of the water, and because there's only a small field, they can be condensed and he can come off the back of the pace, as we know so well. Tango Tara first up, but he's got that quality, the class of the race, and like captain. So I've gone from the horses out wide, 7, 10, 9, and 8.
We've seen this one very similar, Dan. Jillaby Jack Sparrow, if he brings his best form, and he loves these 1,200-metre races, as you just said, he should be leading and very, very, very hard to run down. Triple Eight, he's going to come down to the first quarter, I think, will be his deciding whether he's a winning chance or not. If they really put the hammer down at the start and they run low 26s, then absolutely he can just storm straight home over the top of them. But if what's happened a few times, Jillaby Jack Sparrow is so quick out, if he gets to the finishing post and puts the brakes on straight away and they run a mid-27, then I can't see him being able to out-sprint him at the finish. So I'm with you. I've gone 7 on top from 10, Triple Eight. I put Luck Captain in for 3rd. He's been racing super and also loves these 1,200-metre races. Went very close to beating Jillaby Jack Sparrow a couple of runs back in one of these. And Tango Tara in for 4th. So 7, 10, 8 and 9 and 6, 7... Sorry, 7, 10, 9, and 8 for you, was it, Dan?
7, 10, 9, and 8 is correct.
Yeah, 7, 10, 9, and 8. We might shoot off to a quick break now, and when we come back, we're going to have a look at race number 8, which is the Pride's Easy Feed Pace.
Text us on 0499 736 736. Welcome back to the Friday Form Panel.
Welcome back, Steve Cleave and Dan Malecki, bringing you all our thoughts and selections for the races at Melton Entertainment Park on Saturday night. We're now up to race number 8. Pride's Easy Feed Pace for the 80 to 89 ranked paces here, Dan. Just a field of 8 and a very short price favourite here in Bark. But in saying that, it's not a bad front row.
There's a decent field here. I think we've got to see Bark last start. Maybe there was that little bit query on the Cranbourne Cup run, but he showed he's a pretty smart horse. He worked pretty, very hard, in fact, last start, and he still was too good, too strong for them, and he comes into this race really well. Now, a good quality performer, and I think he's the one to beat, Bark. Springfield Affair, back to a better gate, had a good run of terrific performances and good races, including placings in a couple of country cups, and back to Barry number 1, of which it drew to run 3rd in the Terang Cup, and it was huge odds. So it should run well. A forgiving performance last start, and that was in the Horsham Cup from inside of the...
I think we just lost Dan Malecki there for a second. Hopefully we can get him back on the line, and I'll start going through my selections whilst he's trying to sort this one out. But Bark, I agree. Certainly the class runner in this field, highest rated horse, terrific win last start, as Dan was just alluding to, had to do a huge amount of work. And I suppose the most impressive part
is how he doesn't win, really, even though he'll have to do it tough.
Sorry, Dan, we lost you whilst you were talking about Springfield Affair. So if you wanted to start back with Springfield Affair again, and we'll go back through them again.
Oh, right. Okay. I noticed that my computer lost its Wi-Fi, whatever it was. So no doubt there'd be something something going on there. Nonetheless, Bark on top. I think he's the best of the night, number 8. 8-1-4-7. Springfield, a fair good gate. John McLean, consistent. And both of Andy Gatt's horses have got chances, certainly to run top four. But I think Bark might just be a class above. 8-1-4-7.
Yeah, I agree with you fully there, Dan. I've also gone 8-1-4-7. I was just saying how impressed I was with Bark. And as you mentioned, he did it so tough, but the way he dug deep when he really had to. And we spoke earlier about the New Zealand horses in the first race getting in at good marks. This horse has come over a very low mark and is still only rated an 89. So I think we'll see him go through his classes for sure. Springfield Affair, as you say, he's been racing so ultra consistently. Forget the last start, put a line through that, no luck there at all, but his prior runs were absolutely super. The four here, John McLean, it's just so ultra consistent. I think it'll be in the money again, and it was a toss-up, as you also alluded to, with the two Andy Gath runners between Whiskey Cavalier and Magnetic Terror. I went for Magnetic Terror. Whiskey Cavalier, I really like this as a horse, but he's run out of chances with me. Now that I haven't tipped in my numbers, he'll probably come out and win. I reckon I've backed him his last, I don't know, probably six or eight starts, and we just can't seem to get on the board with him. So me jumping off him will absolutely help him out. If Andy's listening, then Whiskey Cavalier might be your best bet of the night now with me getting off. But 8-1-4-7 for me, 8-1-4-7 for Dan. And, yeah, hopefully Andy is listening and he'll go and jump on Whiskey Cavalier. So it's going to be an interesting race, though. But Bark does certainly look the horse to beat, although at very short odds. We'll go to another break, Dan. And when we come back, again, I'm racing in race 9 with Mirakuru, so I can't have any selections or comments on how this race will play out. So you'll have to talk for both of us and fill in a good 5 minutes or so there, but happy to answer any questions as usual. But yeah, we'll go through race number 9, the Dynamic Print Group Price, when we come back from this break.
Text us on 0499 736 736. Welcome back to the Friday Form Panel.
Welcome back, Steve Cleave and Dan Lecky, bringing you the Friday Form Panel for Melton Entertainment Park on Saturday night. We are up to the lucky last race. It's a late one. Race number 9 at 10:52 p.m. The Dynamic Print Group Pace. And Dan, I'm going to have to leave this one all up to you because, as previously spoken about, I do have a runner in this race, so I can't be making any selections, tips or too many comments on other runners.
Well, that's fine. I can interview you about your own horse, which is second up from a spell, Mirakuru, and firstly ask how he came through his first up run and what sort of improvement you expect he'll have from that performance.
Yeah, first up, we went straight back to last with the Speedy Ura going out to lead and run Crazy Times, which they did, and I was quite happy with his run. We went back to last and we went to go up the fence, and this horse hasn't raced on the fence inside horses for about 3 years, so he had no idea what he was doing and didn't really want to get up there. He still finished his race off well. I think his individual time was 154.6 or 154.8, so still happy with his first up performance, but it trimmed him up a lot, Dan. He's come on in his work and really sort of sharpened up, which is what I wanted to see, because he probably went into that race fairly relaxed. So whatever he does this week, he will certainly improve on. I think he'll be cherry ripe third up, but I expect a much better run this week. It just comes down to the luck in running, especially from barrier 6 over the 1720. It's never good. He's only a 71 and it's a 70 to 79 race, and I thought, gee, it'd be nice if we could draw good. Well, there's 670s inside of us, so the barrier draw certainly didn't help.
Yeah, sure. So after this run, he should be pretty close to right from a slightly better gate. There's some of the things we've got to look towards. And who knows, if he doesn't finish top half, he might end up with 69 points and comes into a whole different ball game as far as a ratings race is concerned. They're just my thoughts anyway, Steve.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right, Dan. Spot on.
All right, well, look, this is a race that I thought was pretty open. I've got a lot of time for Leyden. I think Leyden's going really well, but this is a step up in class. Skinny Dip, still got things to learn, but is building up an impressive record. It's got plenty of gate speed. It may well work its way to the top and be hard to beat. Illawong Awesome's capable of pushing up from the inside. LB2 Chains, if it, you know, ends up with a decent run, certainly to be a good top four chance. I think Slide Terror likewise looks a good chance as well. And Clemenis has been racing terrific. I thought it was a difficult race. Not quite sure which is the right way to go here. Leyden, look, I'm happy to stick with him because I think he's really stepped it up. He's delivering on the promise that he showed earlier on. He's only a new season four-year-old, but it feels like he's been around for a while. So I'll put the four on top of your Leyden. I expect you'll be at each-way odds. Five, which is a skinny dip. Seven, Clemenis, and one, which is Illawong Awesome. 4, 5, 7, 1. But there are more chances than that. And with that, with the likelihood that there are more chances, it probably brings you into coming into it. If there is a bit of pressure in that early part of the race, you only need that one quick quarter, don't you, Steve, to help some of the horses in the second half of the field be able to finish it off. So a lot of that depends around Skinny Dip and whether he's able to press forward on Skinny Dip, get to the front, and how hard he might have to work to get there. But Captain Wilson's another one that gets out all right, and we've seen Illawong Awesome leave the gate pretty quickly previously as well. So it's not a straightforward race, but it's not a bad race to finish on, and my selections are 4, 5, 7, and 1.
4, 5, 7, 1 for Dan Malecki. Yeah, I'm hoping everyone wants to get home as quick as they can, being so late, Dan, and they get a rush on early and suit anyone coming from behind. So that would certainly help me. But look, whatever my bloke does, as long as he's hitting the line sharply, I'll be happy with his run, and don't expect too much more than that. But it is a late night, 10:52, nine races with the first one kicking off at 6:27. It's a little bit of a late start, Dan. I don't know why we're starting so late. It'd be nice if we could get in a bit earlier and maybe get out of there by 10 o'clock.
Yeah, it is. I can't work it out. Somewhere it seemed to be before 6 o'clock and end up on Sky 2 anyway. So I don't know how they work that out. That's beyond me. I've gone past the point of no return and worrying about other stuff that I can't fix. But generally, we're getting a good program, and that's very important.
Yeah, it certainly is. But it will be a late night for me. I can understand that. And you'll be there with me, Dan. Yeah. Well, I've got a little bit further to travel home, but you'll be there for the last race with me, so that's the main thing, and it should be a terrific night's racing. We're going to head off to our final break, and when we come back, we're going to go through Dan's best bets, his multi, and also have a quick look at the little black book runners for the meeting on Saturday night.
Text us on 0499 736 736. Welcome back to the Friday Form Panel.
Welcome back. You're here with Steve Cleave and Dan Malecki for the final segment of the Harness edition of the Friday Form Panel. And that is Dan Malecki's best bets and multi. We'll throw to a stinger here, Dan, and we'll come back and get your best bets. Simply the best, Dan, and your simply the best bets for Saturday night, and then also your multi for a little bit of value. How did you see them lining up?
Look, I think the two best bets on the program are race two, number five, Hephaestus Phoenix. Taking the risk against Elder Baron Dino just not being consistent enough and narrowing it down from a two-horse race to perhaps a one, although I think Tweedledee is the other one that could be worth, you know, a saver, depending on what price Hephaestus Phoenix might be. So race two, horse five, and then race eight, number eight, which is Bark. I think he showed he's a pretty good horse, and he still looks well-placed in this grade. So race eight, horse number eight, that is Bark. Each way, race six, number 10, Rikiro Rebel. I'm pretty keen on this mare, and certainly from an each way basis, we price-wise, she's better than $4. At the moment, she's $4.60. So at around that price, you can back her each way or maybe have a little bit more of the play. So I can't envisage her not running top three. And I think she's a really good chance. She's over the odds at that price. So I think she can win race six, horse number 10. And value runner Leyden in the last. Again, we're not sure what we're dealing with here, but it looks an open enough sort of race that Leyden should be at decent each way odds. Race nine, horse number 4, Steve.
So you're going to multi them up into a win place multi?
Well, I reckon you could go win the two best bets, Hephaestus Phoenix and Bark, and even maybe play it safe and take Rikiro Rebel a place. And, well, you can add Leighton in for the place as well. So that might be the best way to do it. If you're looking for an all-up that can give you a bit of entertainment, well, I'm hoping it gives you a bit of entertainment right through the course of the night.
Yeah, it'll go from race two right through to the last race, so it'll certainly keep you involved. We might now have a quick look. We've got a few minutes left, Dan. We're going to have a quick look at the Little Black Book Runners once we come back from the Stinger.
It's time to take a peek into the Little Black Book.
The Little Black Book. This is what we do on Monday's Metrospective show, is we go through all the runners from the previous Saturday night and we find runners who we think will be winning very soon, put them in the Little Black Book. They get three runs whilst they're in the Little Black Book to produce a win for us. And the runners that we have Saturday night look very competitive, and I think we can get a few winners with a little bit of luck in running. Race one, Dan, we've got Strong Response in the Little Black Book, who I've got tipped as my value bet, and hopefully with a little bit of luck it can certainly be around the money. And your thoughts on it? No, I think I just lost Dan there. That's okay. We'll run through each of the Little Black Book runners now, and hopefully we'll get Dan up before the end of the show. We'll then go to race number four. We've got three runners in this race, which is Ebony's Avenger, Sebastian's Boy, Chinese Whisper. All three could be running a place, but they'll be doing it hard to get close to Just Believe, who looks to be the winner there. It is only a seven-horse field, so they're only playing first two dividends, so not really worth following the runners out of there. Race number five, we have the one runner, which is Heavenly Charm. My on-top selection here is a value play as well. It's going around for the Little Black Book. In race number six, we have two runners, and that is Rosanna Rebel and Rikiro Rebel. So the Little Black Book is going very rebellious in this leg of the meeting, and Dan's put Rikiro Rebel on top, so he's certainly got a big chance for the Little Black Book there. Moving forward to the Stampede, the 1,200-metre race, we've got Delvey Robin and Jillaby Jack Sparrow both running around for the Little Black Book. I've got Jillaby Jack Sparrow on top as well as Dan has, so great seeing that he's tipped on top there. Then in race number eight, we've both gone for Bark, who is our Little Black Book runner in race number eight. And then in the final race, number seven, Climenis, is a Little Black Book runner after a string of wins and then a really good third last start. So they are the Little Black Book runners, Dan, and hopefully we could have a big night as a few of these runners, you've tipped on top or I've tipped on top, so hopefully the Little Black Book can do it for the listeners.
Oh, well, it's a good night to get involved, isn't it? It is a good program from top two to bottom there, so it's good that you can identify a number of horses and, you know, part of having a bet, it's important not to lose the component of its entertainment as well, and you want to enjoy it. Possibility of ending up with a bit more than what you started with, but you've offered us all the opportunity to do that, and I think that's great.
We'll certainly do our very best. And looking forward, we've got the Charlton Cup coming up soon with the punt-off, which they have at Charlton every year. And this year, it's fantastic to see that they're running it in the memory of Tom Hogan, who is one of our great punters for many, many years. He's a ripper bloke to everybody in the game. And I had a fairly close connection with him, and I'd always ring up and do a little bit of form with him whenever I had a runner, and certainly missed not being able to make that phone call with him since his passing. But it's great to see them remembering him and honouring him with this Charlton punt-off being done in his memory.
Yeah, it is. Absolutely it is. And look, they've got a really good program, and it just shows you eight races. The four legs of the quaddy, they're not easy, but they're terrific races with the Central Victorian Pacing and Trotting Championships either side of the Charlton Pacing Cup. And, of course, the Trotters Cup with one overall resuming. That's a race that's got plenty of depth as well. So it's a terrific program. It's always a wonderful day too.
These Country Cup meetings, as they've shown over the last, I'm not sure how many weeks they've been going now, but I think we've had probably 6 or 7 weeks in a row. They just turn out brilliant fields, but brilliant quality for racing-wise for the crowds that turn up on these exciting days. And the Country Cups. I suppose, you know, they're a big day for the town, aren't they?
Oh, Charlton, very much so. Always get a really good turnout there, and it's a lovely spot. They support their local sporting products and their racing product. And in this case, they've got a good cup field, but a good race day to boot. And it shows you sometimes, even condensed to eight races, we say condensed, but it's a quality program, you know, as opposed to two or three races where it falls away and not many people are interested anyway, bar those that might have a horse in it. This is a good race day.
Yeah, it's going to be a terrific day, and hopefully the punt-off goes just as well. I hosted the meeting up at Wangaratta on Sunday night, Dan, for their cup meeting. And again, a small country track that only races twice a year, but the turnout there was fantastic, and the racing was exciting the whole night. The crowd-wise, they really got in and enjoyed the night. And when you look at some of the vision that Tim O'Connor shared from Birchip on Sunday, they also had a fantastic day there. So country cups, whether they're a $50,000 or $100,000 country cup at Bendigo or Ballarat, or you know, a very small country cup at Wangaratta or Birchip, but it still means a lot to the club and the locals.
Yeah, it is. Once a year meeting, Birchip and Wangaratta have a couple through the year, and I've done the Wangaratta meeting the last few years, and yeah, I love it. It's terrific. It's got that old style feel, harness racing about it. The locals come out, and it's got a great ambience. Look, both of them are very positive venues for that date. So I think Harness Racing Victoria have worked that Sunday out on the long weekend really well.
They certainly have, and great to see the final for the heats run at those two meetings coming up here Saturday night. Dan, thank you again for a great show. Hopefully we've tipped plenty of winners for the listeners, and good luck with your calling on Saturday night.
Thank you, and you too, and with Mirakuru as well. I hope you're able to bring home a few checks.